So I think that there's been a lot of interesting conversation over the last few years about payments, innovation, and also the gig economy, and, you know, just how people need faster access to money. And I thought that, you know, somebody who I know knows a lot about this is Atif Siddiqui, the founder and CEO of Branch, which is a payments platform that gives companies easy ways to pay their people instantly. So I thought I would say, hey, what the heck? Let's have a little bit more financially driven episode. And Atif, welcome to Futureproof.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
So first off, you know, who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis? I didn't do you, you know, full justice with that high-level intro.
Yeah, the founder, CEO, Branch. What do I do on a day-to-day basis? Everything from product, recruiting a great team, to making sure that we're giving it just a great experience to both companies and workers with our product. And what we do is, you know, we deliver faster, more flexible options for people to get paid.
Which is, I think, is a, you know, it's obviously something that is a fast growing. There's been a lot of really interesting innovation within the financial world over the last few years. You know, I think to the point where people who weren't even interested in finance in any way, shape, or form started to pay a bit of attention. But what was your genesis in terms of realizing that this was a major pain point, that this was something that, you know, you could actually solve for? Or what were the kind of macroeconomic trends that you were just noticing and said, hey, this is something that I should spend a lot of my waking hours on?
Yeah, I think for me, it was just based on my firsthand experience working as an hourly worker. When I look back at that time, you know, not a lot of great technology built for the hourly worker, workers in, you know, a service job or gig job. And I wanted to do was create something that had a positive impact for their work lives and their personal lives. And what we found was a way you can really make an impact to these workers' lives, just improving their cash flow at the end of the day. And we found the best way to do that was by working with their place of work. So either their employer, you know, their platform that they're working on, and found a way to get them money as quick as possible so that, you know, they're continuing to grow their income over time.
So yeah, it's something that's certainly really interesting and it's solving a problem. There is also, I think for better or for worse, you know, I think there are a lot of people who might point to, you know, the rise of the gig economy being a major factor. And I don't know if you're going to like necessarily break down all of your different revenue streams and clients and so on for us. Obviously, I know some of them that, you know, have used Branch to great effect, but I mean, how does the gig economy and its prevalence these days and kind of how big it will be in the future, how does that make what you're doing even more impactful and, you know, arguably necessary in society?
Yeah, I think what the gig economy has shown us is that, you know, this is becoming a compelling perk to attract and retain talent. You know, we've seen several of these gig companies. We happen to work with Uber. We power their Uber Pro card, which allows, you know, drivers to get paid after every ride. And has a slew of other sort of rewards and incentives for drivers. And yeah, it's becoming a compelling perk. And we're seeing that across even W-2 populations as well, where it's becoming, you know, something that's expected. I think this idea of faster payments is, you know, universal, not just in the gig economy, but across other verticals and segments like hospitality and restaurant workers that want to get their tips faster and not have it pushed to a 2-week paycheck because there's not enough cash. You know, it's companies in healthcare like nurses that want to get their pay immediately. And so, you know, I think what we're seeing from a macro level is that a lot of people are either have instability in hours that they work, right? Which makes it very hard for them to plan their lives when it comes to cash flow because of an all-time bill. Their bill schedule doesn't fall necessarily nicely within that 2-week pay cycle.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned the 2-week pay cycle twice there. And I was wondering, maybe for the more ignorant of us, including me, how did we almost as a society determine, you know, we're going to do a 2-week cycle? I know there are some companies that'll do a month and different geographic markets, you know, countries might vary in terms of their practices. But what are some of the actual reasons why things, you know, payments were only processed on a certain cadence as opposed to like being almost live streamed, you know, second by second every day, which I'm sure, you know, all of us would love?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons. One, I think, was access to real-time data. Right. So if you think about payroll in the past, there wasn't APIs where data was flowing through systems in real time. And so there's access data. Then two, it was, you know, finding a cost effective way to move money. And so even if you look at the current ACH rails. There's a cost associated with that. There's delays. You can't pay on nights, weekends. And so, you know, it's finding a cost-effective way to pay out that is instant anytime, day or night.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, building on that, the other interesting thing is, you know, everybody wants to get paid more. And it seems to me like people didn't necessarily ever factor into their calculus about people wanting to be paid faster. I mean, I could be wrong, but that maybe this was not necessarily a way for companies to compete in the past. And now I think, I mean, especially in sectors that are experiencing shortages, which we had for a while, and you might have some data on, you know, sectors that are still kind of experiencing that, the faster pay, I feel like, could be like a competitive advantage, arguably, now.
Definitely. I think why companies turn to Branch is to, one, help them attract and retain talent. So a lot of the sectors we focus on are where there's a constraint on the supply of labor, right? And they use this as an employee benefit that's no cost to them, no cost to the employee, that really has a positive impact on their lives. And so, you know, some of these sectors include, as I mentioned, hospitality and things like restaurants, hotels, where, you know, there's a severe sort of labor shortage there. It's in healthcare, it's nurse staffing, where there's shortage there as well. And some other segments like education have been rising as well, where, you know, as you've seen, there's a, you know, a need. So yeah, in short, it's a great way, a great benefit that allows them to really make a positive impact on workers' lives.
Yeah, it seems to me, as you're talking about it, the space that you play in is not just almost payments, but I would argue it's kind of user experience, you know, employee experience, or not everybody's an employee who's being paid, but, you know, you get the general idea. User experience is becoming a crucial factor in payment processing. You know, what are some things that I think that either that you've learned, that Branch has learned about how to make transactions more user-friendly, but also what can, zooming out, you know, what can every company absorb from that? Because it just seems to me like user experience is a huge way of keeping people in the fold. And, you know, like, what prescriptive stuff do you have for everybody else out there?
Yeah, and going back to why I founded the company, I think a major reason was that, you know, workplace solutions technology hadn't really changed much for like hourly or frontline workers. And so user-friendly experiences are really important to us. Having a great interface is a part of that. You know, we always take the approach of designing for our North Star, which is, you know, a product that's aligned in the interests of our users, which is why we try to provide fee-free options to the users as well. And yeah, some of the surprising things I think throughout this journey that we've learned is just the hidden cost of financial services and payments to like low and moderate income Americans. And so if you think about, you know, a worker that may not have a bank account, they typically get a pay card. They're laden with fees just from regular day-to-day transactions, things we might take for granted in our, you know, our normal banking experience, things like checking a balance on an ATM, paying bills, there's a cost, replacing a card, there's a cost. And so, you know, we found that, you know, part of the user experience is also figuring out a way to meet the workers where they're at and providing them, you know, options that are more aligned, you know, with their interests, are equitable for them.
I think another thing that, as I was looking at, you know, your company and the space that you play in, it's obviously there's regulation and there's infrastructure, and it makes it sometimes harder to innovate. You know, I almost think about it kind of like, I've spoken to a lot of people in autonomous vehicles, and it's like, you can create the vehicle, but the regulation and the red tape in order to, you know, get that, all that stuff through is challenging. In some ways, that's some of the stuff that Uber had to do to get in market in a lot of places. You know, it wasn't the technology, it was everything else. So wondering, kind of considering the obstacles posed by traditional payment infrastructures, you know, what advice do you have for people from your, you know, overcoming these barriers? How do you deal with things if you're in a regulated market, and or if there's just a lot of kind of barriers that you can provide the solution, but the industry might not necessarily be that friendly?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it comes back to sort of like why you exist, the mission. And for us, it was to get to, you know, help working Americans to grow financially. And so what that means to us from a regulatory standpoint is really taking a proactive approach to act in the best interest of workers, right? So that doesn't only include the development and distribution of services, but also closely working with local federal regulatory authorities that protect consumers. You know, over time, you have seen new innovative financial innovations like earned wage access that have gained greater traction in the last few years. And there's new laws that are emerging both at a state level to provide greater clarity and guidance on how these technologies can operate. And, you know, as these development happens, Branch is ready to maintain alignment with all these regulations.
I mean, I think that another thing that's interesting is, you know, like there's an official innovator's dilemma, and then there's a totally different innovator's dilemma that I think about a lot, which is that you can do something, you can help kind of create a bit of category awareness, and then everybody else sees that your idea was a great idea. You know, like there's a lot of kind of, certainly you were ahead of the market in some ways, but as businesses move away from traditional payment methods towards faster, more secure transactions, you know, facilitated by technologies like ACH and FedNow, which I think, you know, came through like mid last year, right? What challenges and opportunities do you foresee for Branch?
Yeah, I think, you know, development of new payment rails, whether it's faster payment rails like FedNow, are ultimately good for the consumer, right? Provides them more options. You know, when we looked at FedNow, I think there were certain things are really great about it. Money movement's instant, including settlement, they're cost effective.
Oh, and maybe I should have probably introduced what it is for people who don't know, but maybe you want to do that.
Yeah, FedNow is just another payment rail, right? That's issued by the federal government that sits outside of ACH, where it does instant settlement. It just uses a bank account and a routing number, and you can send really large dollar amounts, which is another big perk for it. But you know, I think some of the limitations right now is that both the sending and receiving bank have to be on the network. And so, you know, to get ubiquitous adoption, that takes time. The other is money can only be sent or pushed, so you can't pull, right? And so if you fat finger an account, send the wrong amount of money, it's gone. And so that's something that's big, you know, where it's like money can't be recalled or reversed. The way we think about sort of new emerging technologies when it comes to payouts is added into our suite of services. Right. So in addition to a wallet where workers can get paid instantaneously for free, we also offer a direct option if they want to push out to a bank account. And so right now we offer, you know, push to debit, right, through the debit card rails. We offer ACH, and FedNow is just another option there that they wouldn't be able to have.
I got to ask, not even, you know, tied to Branch, but just in general, how big of a problem is it that people accidentally send? I seem to recall one story a while ago where somebody sent somebody like an insane, I don't know, but it was definitely in the millions. I have no idea how big it was. And is that a big problem? Does that actually happen that often?
Yeah, I think a lot of the reasons why, you know, companies turn to Branch is the reliability of the payouts, right? And so both from a uptime perspective, but also from a trackable, like, you know, the money has been received, there's confirmation there because it's through our own system. And so, yeah, that is an issue, you know, especially when thinking about, you know, you're dealing with someone's pay, really important amount of money. And so that sort of uniform experience has been big for us and another reason why companies turn to Branch.
Okay, so then I got to ask you one or two challenging questions. You're breezing through this stuff, but I love it. It's all good stuff. You know, I think that there are probably a whole lot of people who might, you know, detractors who might say like, okay, financial wellness is a really important thing. A lot of people are talking about that. You know, I think you mentioned that it's at the core of your mission, you know, and I'm wondering, how do you ensure that the instant access to earnings doesn't really inadvertently encourage financial imprudence, you know, among workers? I think it's interesting that obviously, like, we happen to be talking in a moment where sports betting seems to be like approved by a new state every single week, just about, you know. So are there downsides to what you're doing, or how do you protect against that, I guess?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, like, our business model is built to be aligned with the interests of workers, and it might help, you know, to explain to your audience like how we make money. And so, you know, when we push funds to a wallet, the worker has the option to go use those funds through a Branch debit card. And that debit card, you know, once they go swipe money at a merchant, we make money from the merchant by interchange. And so, you know, just providing as many fee-free options like that are ways, and look for other ways to eliminate fees, or I think a way to, you know, prevent any imprudence, right, amongst workers. The other thing too is that, you know, I think faster payments is just one aspect of more of like a holistic approach we take to the product. So in addition to that, we've added things like we used to be able to track your cash flow, savings, right? Savings goals that you can work towards. It's rewards at places you might already spend money. And to give an example of this, like Uber drivers, you know, their big expense is gas, right? They go out and, you know, spend on gas pretty frequently. And we've been able to offer these drivers through an Uber up to 10% back on gas, which again, just puts money back into their pockets so they can continue to drive and grow their own business.
So I think that's a really good point. I mean, I think another key thing is I can imagine that some of what you have to do if you're, you know, envisioning a future where your company is going to be more and more important to the broader payment landscape, you have to be thinking a lot about regulatory challenges. I know we touched upon that a little bit before. You know, obviously they can significantly impact the operations of the fintech. How do you navigate that type of complex regulatory environment? And how do you recommend that somebody else who's in a regulated environment kind of tackles that and make sure that they stay abreast of, you know, all of the different potential hurdles? How do you, I mean, you know, address the L word, you know, the lobbying, you know, to get people to understand your perspective, which is, I mean, my thought is, you know, lobbying is never inherently good or bad. It's just like, are you able to articulate your mission and what you're trying to do to the people who are trying to regulate it, who might not understand it that well? So, I mean, that's a whole lot of questions in one.
Yeah, I think it is being proactive and taking a proactive approach, you know, working with both local and federal regulatory authorities that, again, help protect consumers. And, you know, it's back to your point you made about, you know, education as new technologies emerge. Oftentimes it's like just educating on what these do and how they serve the interests of the consumer. And so, you know, doing some of that with regulators where learning and understanding exactly how products work as they emerge.
Yeah, I mean, because it does strike me how it's interesting how, especially with tech, you tend to have regulators who like don't understand the stuff as much, and then they kind of get embarrassed by making a statement that's not necessarily true. And, you know, they just obviously have to be educated like anybody else, you know, and you just hope that you're being looked at through kind of like a fair lens, I would imagine, as opposed to just somebody who is starting with like a slightly incorrect premise.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think for us too, it's making sure we're educating on just as many fee-free options that we provide to consumers at the end of the day and how it impacts their lives.
So I want to go back to gig economy. You're breezing through, you know, but they're doing great. I'm trying to trip you up and I am failing, but the gig economy, obviously, there's so many different, depending on how you define it, it's going to keep getting bigger. And I think it's going to become more and more of our workforce in a lot of different ways, which then kind of gets me thinking there are a number of challenges associated with that. And, you know, for better or for worse, in this country, people are looking for benefits that are usually reserved for full-time employment. And they might not necessarily have that as, you know, because they're gig workers, almost like by definition to some degree. Beyond instant payments, how is Branch planning to support the broader financial well-being of gig workers and contractors, assuming you are? Like, do you think that's an area where, because I think obviously, logically, I think kind of where you can go with this and how this can become, you know, something that's more useful to the broader gig economy. And that's certainly one area that comes to mind.
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, we look at instant payments as just one part of like a holistic solution. And so when we think about ways you could help workers, it's ways to improve cash flow and eliminate fees. And so, you know, we've added auto budgeting tools. We've added really important cashback rewards, oftentimes for work-related purchases, free access to, you know, 55,000 ATMs, up to 8 transactions per month. There's financial literacy content we surface, and looking at other benefits, whether financial or, you know, insurance, that might make a big impact on, you know, their needs day to day, something that we're always looking at.
Cool. Well, you know, you're officially off the hot seat. I learned a lot in this conversation. I got to say also, as I was looking at your client list, you know, with companies like Uber, Domino's, Jimmy John's, I just started getting very hungry and I haven't really had a real lunch. So kind of annoyed there. But no, this is really fantastic. And I think it's really good guidance for other people, you know, who are looking to start and to manage something small that is not necessarily fated to succeed, but that you're kind of able to will it by understanding the regulatory environment and by solving a real pain point. So thank you so much for making the time. This was great.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it.